Hello and welcome to our site, and a happy new year. This is here where I'm recording at the moment, the first day of 2023 in Cape Town, South Africa, and of course all over the world. But happy new year to you. I pray that this will be a really blessed new year and that God will have great things in store for you. We're going to start a new series this morning, and so if you have a Bible with you, please turn in your New Testament to Paul's letter to the Ephesians as we begin a new series of sermons in the Epistle to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm reading from the New International Version, chapter 1, verse 1 of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with his purpose, his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Verse 7, in him, that is in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. Jesus has bought us back for God through his death on the cross 2,000 years ago. As a result, we have the forgiveness of sins in the measure in which the riches, the boundless riches of God's grace have been meted out to us. And so, we praise God today for redemption. And that's the theme of our sermon today, redeemed. We begin this new year then with a very old letter, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And my prayer for this new year is that God will make us more thrilled with his word than we've ever been before. The Apostle Paul writes to the saints at Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. So he is writing to a local church, a congregation of Christ followers, who have been set apart from sinfulness, self-centeredness, and the snares and seductions of the world, and the deceptions of the devil, and set apart for God, for his glory, his good, perfect, pleasing will. These are Christians like us that Paul is writing to, not perfect, but on the way. Once they were going the wrong way, but now they're going the right way. Once they were lost, but now they are found. Once they were spiritually blind, but now they see. Once they were faithless, but now they not only have a faith, they are faithful. Faithful to the Lord, their Savior, Redeemer, and Friend. And here's the biggest thing of all. Once they were outside of Christ, but now they are in Christ, verse 1, in Christ Jesus, and he is in them. By the grace of God, They have been brought into an indissoluble union with God, the true and living God. That relationship has severed them from the false gods they once worshipped. No longer do they pay homage to a godless queen. Now they are under the lordship of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whose name is Jesus. He is their Saviour, Messiah, Redeemer, Sovereign. Paul is going to remind them of the investment they have in him and the investment that he has in them. So let's begin with a little background to Paul and then a little background to Ephesus. Are you ready? It's worth reminding ourselves of the author's story before we read this letter. The book of Acts, chapters 8 and 9, tell us who he was and what he did and how his life got radically turned around. He was born in the Roman colony of Tarsus, a Jew with Roman citizenship. His name was Saul, but he grew up to become a zealous Pharisee, devoted to Judaism and the laws of Moses, very religious and very self-righteous. Religion can do that for you. He was Mr. Right personified. He was a leader among the religious leaders in Jerusalem now, and when Jesus, who followed the crucified, when the Jews, who followed the crucified Jesus, popped up, Saul wanted to chop them down. He held the jackets of those who martyred Stephen, and then went on a furious rampage of his own. But one day on the road to Damascus, to round up and imprison the Jesus followers there, Jesus met him. Blinded, Saul was led to Damascus, where an ordinary believer, like you, like me, a believer in Jesus named Ananias, was to lead him into the fullness of life in Christ, life in the Holy Spirit. Saul buried his old life in baptism and was told by Ananias that he was a chosen instrument, chosen by God to be his messenger to take the gospel that had saved him to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel and share the sufferings of Jesus in the process. Within days, Saul was preaching the gospel, the good news about Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and return, and the blessing of forgiveness and a restored relationship through faith in him. And within days, the Jews were conspiring to kill this enthusiastic evangelist. God, please give us more Sauls of Tarsus. More conversions like Saul's. Saul's life was radically transformed. He became the Apostle Paul, the great apostle who wrote this letter and who took the gospel to the known world. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, points out, if any person is in Christ, there's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new. That certainly happened. Who encountered this man? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who empowered this man? The Holy Spirit. Who converted and called and equipped and sent this man? God. God did it. God did what no human being could ever do. He convicts. He converts. He calls. He justifies. He glorifies. Such was the background and turnaround of Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the great apostle. Now, a little background on Ephesus. Ephesus was often looked upon as the second most important city in the Roman Empire. It was a vital trade route center, a booming city, like Cape Town, where I live. Ephesus was a strategic city, a thriving, prosperous port, the mother city of Asia Minor. It was also a spiritual city, overshadowed by two powerful spiritual forces right out of hell. The one was Caesar worship, obligatory for every Roman citizen. Caesar was deified, Caesar was Lord. If you refused to worship his imperial majesty, you lived under the threat of death. The other spiritual force was the worship of Artemis, great goddess of the Ephesians, the goddess who had power over everything that mattered in life to the citizens of Ephesus. Hers was the largest pagan temple in the world. She dominated the cultural, economic, and spiritual life of Ephesus. Her temple was not only the center of worship, it was like the central bank, really. You would make an appointment with your certified financial advisor at the temple of Artemis. You could also fulfill your physical lusts with a temple prostitute. You were a fool if you didn't worship Artemis. In fact, you would likely end up rejected and alienated from the mainstream of Ephesian society, snubbed if not threatened. No wonder the Apostle Paul intimated in his Corinthian letter that living for Christ in Ephesus was tantamount to being thrown into the den of lions. Luke relates Paul's ministry in Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. It's too good to miss. Let me jog your memory. When Paul and his companions arrived in Ephesus, they did what they always did. They checked out if there were any believers in the city. And they found some Jews who said they were disciples, but Paul had no witness in his spirit that they were truly born again. They may have been disciples of Apollos, the powerful preacher whom Priscilla and Aquila had to mentor into the full gospel and the full orbed ministry of the Holy Spirit. The same deficiency that Paul soon detected in these so-called disciples of Ephesus. When Paul was ejected from the synagogue, he ministered daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus in Ephesus for 2 years. From there, the gospel traveled throughout the province. People not only flocked to hear the gospel from Paul's lips, they went back to their places of business, work, and residence to share the good news about Jesus. Many people were healed, and many were delivered from demon possession and oppression in Ephesus when Paul went there. And the devil didn't like that, of course, especially when all the stuff used in sorcery and spiritism was burned publicly by those delivered from the devil's clutches through believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus. The gospel was winning, and the goddess Artemis and her witches were losing. In fact, that created a riot that threatened the well-being of the mother city of the empire. So Paul went on his way, but a church was born that became one of the key churches of the first century. Now, some years later, Paul writes this letter from prison to the church at Ephesus, a church striving to live for God in an increasingly hostile environment. No wonder his closing word runs like this in Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10. If you'd like to turn there in your Bible, Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit, pray with the Holy Spirit's enabling, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I'll fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should." Well, that's really the pastoral aim of this letter. And what a timely word it is for us as we move into our broken, conflicted, and troubled world of 2023. On every hand, false teaching, implacable hatred of any claim to absolute truth, a mindless lust for endless entertainment, a looming economic recession, an exploding homeless, jobless, and hungry population, and a dearth of leadership that is worthy of the name. This is the world that we move into in 2023. These are the powerful forces that confront us in the year ahead. What do we say to this as Christians? Is it all doom and gloom? No. 1,000 times no. We say with the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He chose us in him before the creation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, God predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, that we may be to the praise of his glorious grace, which is freely given us. In him that is in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of his grace that he has lavished upon us." This is how we approach the new year as believers, praising God, who has blessed us in Christ through the death of Jesus on the cross and his blood shed for us. God has paid the penalty. God has provided a substitute for us in his Son Jesus, the Lamb of God. The Apostle Peter was able to say, "We have been redeemed, not with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and without spot." How do we move into this year? We move into this year as those who recognize we're a chosen people, redeemed through the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, we've been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. We've been translated from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And so we declare the praises of God as we move into this new year. This is how we move into 2023. The Apostle Paul gets so carried away with the glorious grace of God displayed in the redemption Jesus has accomplished for us that he can't even stop to take a breath. It's one of the longest sentences in the Bible. Here in the first part of chapter 1 of Ephesians, Paul writes over 200 words of overflowing praise in a single sentence in the original Greek. What a challenge to lukewarm Christian hearts this morning. A 200-word expression of exuberant praise to the God of our salvation for the redeeming grace of Jesus. Yes, we live in a troubled, broken, conflicted, confused, war-torn world. We live in a world where there are so many threats to our existence and to our peace. But as followers of Jesus, we move into a new year, like the Apostle Paul, with exuberant praise to the God of our salvation, for the redemption that is ours in Jesus Christ our Lord. Like Paul, we cannot get over the fact that God in Christ has blessed us with every spiritual blessing heaven can offer. What an indictment at Christians today who are desiring every material blessing. Christians who merely want the gospel to Christianize the American dream. Christians who are living for health, wealth, and plenty of everything that the eye can see and the heart desire. The Apostle Paul would remind us that the visible and material things around us are temporal. Here today, gone tomorrow. It is the unseen things that are truly valuable and eternally indestructible. And the greatest of them all is God's free gift of everlasting life. We'll unpack Paul's paean of praise next time more fully, but for now, as we approach in our own church our communion service, let's highlight just one verse, verse 7. In him, that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, measured out to us not meagerly or begrudgingly, but in accordance with the riches of his grace. We're reminded of Zechariah's Spirit-inspired word that we looked at last Sunday on Christmas Day. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. This was the great purpose of the Incarnation, God becoming man in Jesus, and this is the glorious fact that draws us to the communion table this morning. We say with the hymn writer, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven, Henry Light wrote. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like thee his praise should sing. How should we move into the new year ahead, despite all the challenges, the difficulties, the troubles that face us? Let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and let's determine, like the Apostle Paul, that come what may, we will praise the Lord. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Praise be to the Lord. As we move into this new year, we say in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We are the recipients of God's amazing grace. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that at the beginning of this year, we can look at the beginning of the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesian church in the first century and recognize, dear Lord, that the author of this letter faced troubles, challenges, difficulties, heartaches, just as we will face this coming year. And yet we see in Paul a man who is full of praise because of the great salvation that is his in Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life, and the abundant grace of God through the indwelling Holy Spirit to help us counsel, teach, guide, and counsel in every situation, day by day. We thank you, Father, that we've been able to look not only at the author of this letter and have a glimpse of his background and life, but thank you, Father, that we can also just have a glimpse of the ancient city of Ephesus, this booming port, this mother city of Asia Minor. And we thank you, dear Lord, that the gospel of Jesus Christ was able to overcome the forces that were opposed to it in the first century. And we thank you that as we are able to live in this 21st century and able to move into the year of 2023, no matter what forces are arrayed against us as followers of Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord, that we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. And thank you, dear Lord, that we have been set free from the domination of sin. And thank you that we have been set free to worship and to glorify your name and to serve you in this new year. And so we present our lives as a living sacrifice to be holy, acceptable to you, which is our spiritual worship and reasoned service. May we not be squeezed into this world's mold or overcome by the enticements of this world or the deceptions of the evil one. We recognize that we don't wrestle just against flesh and blood as followers of Jesus, but against spiritual forces and wickedness that is in high places. But we thank you, Father, that we can be clothed in complete armor and that we can move as more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ into this year ahead. And so we pray that you would consecrate our lives to yourself and to your service, and grant, Heavenly Father, that we may be shining lights in a dark world in 2023, that we may be salt, dear Lord, that stops evil things from spreading and helps good things to grow. And so be glorified as we offer our lives to you at the beginning of this new year, and pray, Heavenly Father, that set apart for you, faithful to you and to your cause, we may be able to so shine before others that they will see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. Take our lives and use us, we pray, to be a blessing to others in 2023. Now to him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you blameless before his glorious presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and for evermore. Amen.
There is a Redeemer. Standing glory.